And let me make a quick reference back to last Sunday's message about going together. And I want to let you know that there'll be an opportunity at the end of the service. If you go out into the lobby and just to the right of the main doors leaving, there's going to be two young ladies, Rachel Debbie and Rachel, yes, who are going to tell you more about Good News Club. Good News Club works actually in the elementary schools across the nation, but we have two clubs that meet in the school with the concurrence and blessing of the school on Monday afternoons. And they get to teach Bible stories, they get to teach scripture memorization, and that's a great volunteer project. That would be a great way to go into our community. And so I hope that you will take the time maybe to stop out and see them this morning. Thank you. All right, so here we go. Going and growing. Going and growing. And it comes right out of Matthew 28, Jesus' own words to us when he says, I want you to go and grow disciples. Now, it probably says make disciples in yours. But, you know, I think sometimes when we think make, it's go out and boom, you're a disciple. That happened good. Check that one out. There are some things that are instantaneous in relationship to God. When I place my faith in Jesus, that happens at a moment in time. When I'm baptized as testimony of my relationship with Jesus, that happens in a moment in time. And you can probably, many of you remember that exact moment or that exact place. But growing is a process. And the Greek word there is an ongoing process. It just keeps going. So I need, Jesus says, I need you to go and I need you to grow some disciples. Okay, yes, bring them to faith in Jesus. Yes, cause them to be baptized. That'll happen. But then I need you to teach them, be ever teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So one of the things that we highlighted when we did the town hall and those surveys, you know, what would you like to see? What do you think is a need in our church? And there was a big percentage of y'all that said, we need spiritual growth. That's a good, yes, we do need spiritual growth. What's that mean? So I sat with my life group this last Tuesday and I said, so y'all want spiritual growth. What is spiritual growth? How do you measure it? How do you know? And they just kind of looked at me and went, I don't know. So we opened up our Bibles and we read some passages and we came to some important observations, and I just want to share them with you. They just kind of figured that if I'm supposed to teach them to obey everything Jesus commanded, well, what are some of the things Jesus commanded? Well, he tells us in Mark 12:30, when asked, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, this to me, this to all of you is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. With everything you have, I need you to be continually moving towards loving God. Not just Bible verses memorized or church attended, but it involves all of who we are, our emotions. It involves our motivations. It involves our energy. Jesus said, this is the greatest thing. Move towards loving God with everything and all of who you are. And it's rooted in love. And Jesus says, if you love me, John 14:15, if you love me, it'll be shown, it'll be known, because you'll keep my commandments. Your love for me, not if you keep my commandments, then you love me, but if you love me, this is what's going to flow out of you with all of your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all of your strength. Okay, that's good, the group said, that's good, but how do you measure that? That's still pretty nebulous. And so we went to another scripture that has some elements of growing. And these are not a sequential list, although they're presented in a sequence. It's not first I need to do this, and then I do that, and then I do that. It's more like I have a basket, and I'm going out in the orchard to pick up fruit. And I want some of this, I want some of that, and I want some of that. And here's what Peter says. He says, y'all people who are growing in Jesus, make every effort to add to your faith, which you have, add to your faith goodness, moral excellence, a life that is purposeful and full of vigor. It's not the absence of badness, it's the addition of goodness. I can measure moral excellence a little bit. Knowledge, says, then add to your goodness knowledge. Not necessarily just getting smarter as my brain can hold volumes of information, but he says this is a practical word. This is a knowledge that allows me to the ability to handle life, to live life with some modicum of success, to get to the end of every day and feel as if I've been walking with God and it's been a positive thing. Add to your knowledge self-control. Self-control is about dealing with the pleasures of life that we're all confronted with, measuring and taking self-control over those things, not letting every temptation pull me in every direction. I can see that. I can measure that. You can see that in me. It says, and then add to your self-control perseverance. You're handling the pleasures of life with self-control. Now I need you to handle the pressures and the problems of life. And we all got them. I need you to handle them with perseverance, not giving up, not getting lost. I can tell someone who's persevering. I know when I'm staying above the problems and the pressures in life. And then add to that godliness, being like God. And I suppose that for us, that's doing what's right because it's right and because it's the will of God. Then he says, work towards mutual affection. Love the people in this room. It doesn't even talk about the people outside the room yet. He says, mutual affection for one another. I need you to love each other in the room. That'll be challenging enough. Start there. The room is full of people. People are challenging. But these are believers. They've come together. Learn mutual affection. He says, and then after you've gathered all kinds of fruit into this basket, I want you to love. I want you to agape. I want you to have an intentional, self-sacrificing, unconditional love that is demonstrated to everybody in the room, outside the room. Wow, yeah, I'd like to be all that stuff. I would like to grow to where I'm loving God with every component of who I am, where I'm emotionally focused on Him, physically directed in ministry with Him, having added all those elements. I think you do too. So I'm going to give you the key today. Today we're going to look at the key to growing together. Lettuce. We need more lettuce. Yes. And the Bible says it too. And here we go. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us. See, I need you to hold on to that. Because then you're going to go, lettuce. You're going to go home, you're going to Google Bible verses with lettuce. You're going to be amazed. I'll give you a few. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Y'all, see, it's a y'all need to come together and rejoice in the Lord like we did this morning. It was like being in the Spanish congregation this morning during music. I didn't understand half the words, you know, but I could worship. I could worship with my spirit. And I felt very close to the Lord. I don't know about you, but rejoicing together. Years ago in one of our life groups, the Why Not group, young married folks, well, almost married, we had a couple who are very active in the Spanish ministry right now, Dan and Susie, and they were thinking about getting married, and he was coming up to going off to a job that was out of state, and they just weren't sure how they were going to do it because they were just poor. And at one life group meeting on a Tuesday night, we just looked at them and said, you know what? 2 weeks from now when we meet, let's have a wedding, your wedding. And we did everything. We decorated. We brought food. We had a wedding right here on a life group night. It was one of the best life group nights I've ever had as we let us rejoice and be glad together. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive mercy and find grace and help in our time of need. You may not believe this, but I'm an introvert. Really, I am. I don't like being in this room with you all. But introverts sometimes need people to go with them to the throne of God. right? Instead of just floundering out there, sometimes you look at people and you go, are you okay? And we lie and say yes, and you say, you don't look okay. And then you take me to the throne of God. Let us. More let us. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And you know that love always has an object. There's always an object of love, which means I need you. I need someone to love. And Jesus knew that. And the scripture, God knew that. He says, if you're going to grow in mutual affection and brotherly affection, if you're going to grow in agape love, you need somebody to love. And that's why the let us of being together is so, so very, very important. And he says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. No, can't I just kind of like Dawn? Do I really need to do loving things for him? And Jesus says, yes. Because love always has an object and love always involves action. We need more lettuce. Okay, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles. Because, you know, I really need a safe environment, safe relationships where somebody can point out my blind spots because I'm not likely to find them in myself. Well, that doesn't sound like fun. Do you want to grow? Do you want to grow in Jesus? Then the blind spots need to be exposed. And we do that in safe groups, safe environments where we're accepted in spite of who we are because the person accepting us is no better than we are, except we're all in Jesus together. And it says, and we need to throw off, okay, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us looking to Jesus. Let us run together. I need someone. You need someone that comes along sometimes and just says, come on. Come on, you can do it, like this guy right here. Okay, that would be my son-in-law. He's a CrossFit weenie. Look how he's helping take the weight and the burdens that easily, and he's, whoa. Anybody recognize that bike? Don, recognize that bike? Okay. But this is what it's like. This is what the Christian experience can be like. It's a lot of energy and work and encouraging one another and lifting the burden off one another and coming alongside one another. It's a let us. Mm-hmm. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Don't you ever believe that walking with Jesus is going to be easy. He called it, take up your cross daily. When you look at his disciples' journey with him those 3 years, there were times when they just got tired. And Jesus got tired. And he said, let's just go over here for a minute and let's rest. But let us not become weary, which means I probably need to have my eyes open to you and you to me to see those times when I am getting weary. At the elder time, Thursday morning, we pray every morning, elders and pastors, every Thursday morning at 7. At the elder time, a few of our men said, I'm weary right now. And we acknowledged that and we shared that and we prayed about that because sometimes you're just going to be weary. And 1 Thessalonians, therefore, let us encourage one another with these words. What words? What situation? Why do I need encouragement? You go look at 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Some people have died. And there's questions about grief and what's happened to them and how do we go on? And Paul writes and says, I just want to tell you how exciting it's going to be. Because when Jesus comes back, the folks that have died, they're going to come out of the tombs first. And then those of us alive, we're going to meet him. Encourage one another when it seems like life is overwhelming. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance of faith that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We all have seasons of doubt. Jim has seasons of doubt. And we need people with their stories of faith to remind us of the promises of Jesus, to share their faith with us through their stories. Can't do that when I'm sitting there all by myself. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Wow, back to the Jason slide. He spurs some people and they don't like it. Okay, but it's important. Let us consider how we can spur one another on. Keep going on towards good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us be encouraging one another because the day of the Lord is coming. Encouraging. Spurring, come on, we can do it. We looked at life group testimony last week that a life group goes out and serves together. They spur one another on to do that. They encourage one another. Wow, we need more lettuce. Growing is not just information, it's application also. So if you've come today for information, and that's primarily kind of what Big Room is about, you know, singing praises together, getting information, and then, you know, heading on out. But application is where growth comes from. Do your best, Paul writes to Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Yes, Bible study. Incredibly, incredibly important. We need the information of the word. But then James, just a few pages later in your Bible, says, and faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. It's more than just information. It's information plus application. Then you know something is growing. And if it's not growing, it's probably dead. Because there's really only two ways to go. I'm either growing or I'm dying. There doesn't seem to be a middle ground. So if we're not growing as individuals, as a church, then we're probably dying. Okay, I get it, Jim. Let us. So you want me to join a life group? You want me to join a small group, right? No, and yes. Because if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are already, well, that's going to really stink. You are already a part of a body of Christ. It's just that page that I really needed, you know. All right. Help the boy from the booth, please. Nope. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Would you bring me a copy of the notes I gave you, Vic? If you're a believer in Jesus, you're already part of a group. This group, right here. And each of you, I don't know why you came today. I don't know what you hope to happen today. But each of you is a part of it. And remember, as Don has said over and over and over again, the church is not a building. The church is not a service that occurs at 10 or 1:15. The church is a family. And so, yes, here you are, family, gathered together this morning in one place, which is exactly what God loves. It's awesome. He thinks it's cool. But, you know, a whole lot of lettuce does not easily take place in this room. Some of the things we looked at about encouraging and spurring, and it's hard to do in a big crowd. Envision in your mind the family next door or down the street, and you know how they live. They all come home every day to the same house, walk in the door, and immediately go to their individual rooms until it's time to get up and leave the house. Is the family together? Yeah, they're in the same place, but they're all disconnected. That's not functional. That's not healthy. So I'm glad we're all here together this morning, but We need to be careful that we just don't end up going to our little individual rooms. That's easy to do in a room like this. We'll hear a little bit about that more in a moment. Okay? So healthy families, small connections connected together. So the answer to do I want you to join a group is no. You're already part of a group. And yes. Because we need other people to have lettuce. Pastor Jim, I don't need other people. Well, in the big picture of spiritual growth, yes, you do. Because instead, Paul writes, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We can't grow together and be the church that Jesus died for and loves unless we have some connection. So yes, I don't need anybody. No, you do need somebody. And my experience is we don't need anybody until we need somebody. And I get that all the time. You know, you come regularly, you're in the service on a consistent basis, but we don't connect with one another. We come and we listen, we sing, we greet, we leave. Okay? I don't need anybody until something happens in our lives. Nobody expects to lose your job when you go to work on Tuesday. Nobody expects to go to the doctor and find out those funny little images were cancer. No one expects their spouse to leave them for someone else. No one expects to get caught in secret sin. No one is prepared for the devastation that comes with the death of a loved one. Okay, maybe not quite so traumatic, but probably more familiar. What do you do in deep seasons of doubt or when you're overwhelmed by raising children? Well, then all of a sudden we need somebody. But if we have nobody to connect to here, if you just come to the big room, bear the burden, pray and wish it was better, and then leave, you're going to feel unloved, unhelped. At some point, you'll probably just stop coming. That's why lettuce is so important, because we do need each other. And we need people that are already walking with us, that we don't have to get up to speed with our trauma. Hi, how are you doing this morning? Well, my house burned down, and I have cancer. But if we've been walking together for a time, if we've been a lettuce group, I know about you and I know how you're going to respond, and I got an idea what you may need in the Lord to get through that particular season. In the words of Pastor Don, dig your well before you need the water. Let that sink in for a minute. Join a group. Be part of somebody before you need somebody. Okay, you say, you've almost convinced me that I need to be involved in a group. However, I need to know, what are groups like? Well, let's take a look at the first small group in the New Testament. There they are, Jesus and the 12 disciples. You know, every group is a little eccentric. I mean unique, okay? Look at those guys up there. They were immature. They had heated discussions about who's the greatest amongst them. They were like brothers, because they were fighting about who's the greatest. They were immature. They were impulsive. Peter knew exactly what to do in the garden when they came to arrest Jesus. Sword, ear off. Jesus, ear on. But Peter's just an impulsive. You never quite knew what, jumping out of the boat to walk in the water. That, crazy Peter and others, like, they were sinful and often confused. They brought baggage to their group. And a lot of the times, they just didn't know what was going on. They thought they knew. They turned away the parents who were trying to bring the children to Jesus. And in one of the few places in the New Testament where Jesus gets indignant, that's a great word, gets indignant and says, what are you doing? Stop it. You got to be like kids to be in the kingdom of God. Let them come to me. We just thought, okay. They were confused. They were uneducated. because they just kind of came from common stock there and, you know, in Judea. And they were prejudiced. They were always talking about rich and poor, Jews and Samaritans. They were just a biased bunch of guys, and they were just wishy-washy. Sometimes they had faith that looked cool. Sometimes they just sunk in the water. Yep, they were a mess. They were just as dysfunctional as can be. And yet, Jesus says they were healthy. Oh, no, you just described bleh. No. Jesus said they were healthy because they were in the active process of growth. Jesus didn't see just what they were. He saw what they were becoming. And all of that immaturity, all of that impulsiveness, all of that was not just quite as important to him. So, yes, I want you to be part of a group. A little late to join that group right there, okay? But we've got some groups at Avalon that I would like to encourage you to consider, okay? There's the group that's going to meet on Monday night. Don, Pastor Don's going to be leading that group here starting September the 17th. You can sign up for that online. And here's what he thinks it looks like. Okay, so if you want to be part of Don's group, there you go. Now, if you want to be part of Jeff Coates' group, it's going to be someone like that. So that might be a good group for you. You might recognize those people, okay? Or they might look like this. These are my groups, the groups that I'm involved in, the Just Rights and the Why Nots. They're not my only groups. I meet with the church staff every Tuesday. That's a very intimate, challenging, growing group. Every Thursday morning, 7 o'clock, I'm there with the pastors and the elders. And like I said, we share about, I'm in a dark spot, talk to me, pray with me. Jeff Coates and I go to breakfast every Friday morning at Chubby's, where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus. So that's my group too. I as I was working on the message, I reflect and realized, you know, I have been leading small groups for almost 50 years. From that junior high group at West Seattle Christian Church to churches on a submarine, to Sunday school classes and churches as the Navy moved us around, to Why Nots and Just Right, because it's just really important to me. God knows I need those two groups right there. He knows I need them. It's not God knows I need them. It's God knows I need them. And so he made them available to me. Why do I need them? What do I need? I need them to miss me when I'm not there, as if I just floated away like seaweed somewhere. I need them to miss me. I need them to serve with me, to go out there and do things that we do together in the name of Jesus. I need them to learn with me. I learn more when I need to teach them. I need them to teach me because I'm an old dog that needs to learn a few new tricks. I need them to cry with me. I need them to encourage me. You join my groups, you learn that the pastor is fallible and weak. And I just need sometimes some encouragement. I need them to inspire me. I need them to let me abandon the prepared lesson plan and talk through a present problem that's been brought to that life group. Jim, let go of your OCD and just help us. I need them to hold me accountable. Lots of groups could do those kinds of things. You know, a cards group, you know, could do that, or your basketball. But you know what? Only a group of believers can do it in the wisdom and the power of God. Lots of people will hear my story and tell me what to do. But I need people that hear my story and tell me what God wants me to do and takes me to God to help me figure that out. And they need me. Cheryl, would you make your way, please? They need me because I've got 6 decades of faith stories. I have things to share with them that they have yet to experience themselves. This is Cheryl Hammond. Cheryl is part of our Why Not group, and I asked Cheryl if she would come because as I thought about the message, the things I've just been kind of sharing about lettuce, Cheryl came to mind. So Cheryl, oh, you have a microphone, please. We'll ask Cheryl to share. Thank you.
I felt honored to finally have the chance to share how much Avalon Church has impacted my life. Then I panicked when I remembered my fear of public speaking, so literally shaking at the moment. I have been coming to Avalon Church for over 2 years now. I've always been that person that quietly comes in, sits in the back of the huge room, and says a few hellos to those around me when prompted. Although it always felt like a very welcoming and friendly place, I never really knew anyone here because, well, church is big, and it can be scary to talk to people you don't know. Lucky for me, one day a woman named Lisa came and sat with me outside for a minute, and we had a nice conversation. Meeting just one person at the church that day not only made me happy, but suddenly it made the church feel just a little bit smaller. When my daughter Adeline was born, I knew I wanted to have her baby dedication as soon as possible. I didn't realize that I'd be moving up the date even sooner due to some unforeseen bad news. A breast cancer diagnosis. I had an appointment to meet Pastor Jim. Wondering what the sudden urgency was and perhaps the very distraught look on my face, Pastor Jim asked me what was going on. It was a relief to share it with someone here at the church, someone I knew would be praying with me and for me. I didn't realize that this moment would have such a deep impact on my life. Pastor Jim asked me if he could share this information with the folks in the life groups and if we could all start praying for my health and the situation. On the Sunday of Adeline's baby dedication, Avalon Church prayed for me. Many of you in here right now put your hands on me and prayed. Thank you. I started receiving messages on my phone from people I had never even met, saying that they were praying for me. I received cards of encouragement and gifts in the mail. Many of you came up to me at the services. People came to my home with meals, delicious meals, diapers, formula. I was receiving love and support in a way that I had never experienced. A woman named Diane Manning, facing battles of her own, yet still there for me in countless ways. My heart was overwhelmed by her kindness and her unconditional support. Although because of my surgeries and medications, and maybe a little bit because I also had an infant, a lot of that time was a blur for me. What isn't a blur is the overwhelming impact of what allowing me to create a church connection had on my life. When Pastor Don shared a few weeks ago about the man who got sick and left his church because no one was there for him, I thought that easily could have been me, but only because I wasn't making an effort to talk or meet anyone at my church. The people that contacted me from the life group sparked my interest. I wanted to be a part of this. I wanted to be there for people the way these people had and have been there for me. I wanted to meet the people that helped me through my darkest times. I started seeking out opportunities to meet my little life group heroes, coffee, Facebook, community, and church events. One of the women who was there from the beginning and all throughout, just always sending messages of encouragement, invited me to a Bible study. This is where I met some more fabulous women of faith. I met people I had been texting for months now, finally, face to face. Little by little, the church got smaller as I realized I had a lot more people to greet and chat with each Sunday morning. I even made it to the life group, Why Not, recently. As I near the end of this physical and emotional battle I've had to face, I know that this is only the beginning of my life here with my church family.
Thank you. As the band comes out, I want to just take us back to Hebrews for just a moment. There are some verses that I read, but there's three verses here that I want us to take a look at. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ is what it's all about. And that may be where you are this morning. Your place in life may not be, am I going to join a small group? Or am I? It may be, do I want to have a relationship? Can I have a relationship with a God who loves me and forgives me? And the answer is yes, by faith, through what Jesus did with his blood and his body. And then let us draw near to God. Having placed faith in Jesus and coming into the family and the community and the church, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed pure water. Let us as a congregation hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider, church family, how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. And that's not just on Sundays at 10, but it's going to be other times when lettuce is being grown. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us be encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. This morning, we're going to conclude the message by not having you stand. And there won't even necessarily be words for you to read. We just want you to listen, though. Listen to the message that the band is going to share with us this morning. And prayerfully focus on what they're saying and singing. And as you do, you may sense the Lord directing you to mark one of those boxes on the back of the connection card. Maybe it's, I want to know more about Jesus. Maybe it's, I've made a faith commitment to Jesus. Maybe it's, somebody put me in a life group so I can have some lettuce that I need. Let's pray. Father God, as the band plays, you remind us, please, of who you are and how important it is to be together with you and with others. In Jesus' name.